Happy birthday to Andrew Bynum. How old do you think Andrew is, Ike? He's a lot younger than I thought he was.
Well, he should still be playing, so he would be 31 or 2?
3.
33,
right.
Andrew Bynum's only 33 years old.
Yeah, well, I mean, his career was over early.
And he came in at 17, I believe. I think Andrew Bynum was the last high school player
to come in
to get drafted. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because when he came to Philly, he was still young, right? Like
yeah.
you weren't getting a 30-year-old player where it's like, all right, does he have a couple more years left? No,
right.
He was still a young player.
No, he
player.
Was like 24 years old.
Yes. Yeah, he was.
Yeah, think about it. That was what, 12 or 13? What year was that? 2012?
Yep.
So it was 2012 when they brought him in. That's
25.
It's 8 years ago, yeah.
Yep. And he's 25. He was coming off an 18.7 points a game the previous year with the Lakers, 11.8 rebounds. So the Sixers were like, hey, look at this. Yeah, we're getting a double-double.
I could have told you. He was a mutt.
I wish you would.
And I know I did.
Yeah.
I told people that at that time.
Well, so that was from the convention center. Jack, do you have it again? Here was the problem. The Sixers weren't good for so long. We were looking for any reason to believe that you're going to be good enough, right? And Andrew Bynum, you're like, oh, yeah, he's a good young player, second best center in the league.
Yep.
Right? So I was doing a broadcast from the convention center when Andrew Bynum and Jason Richardson, they come running in. Oh, that's exactly what you heard. Meanwhile, he didn't play a game for the Sixers. Not one game.
I remember going to the. I took Elijah over to the open practice, the first open practice.
Yes, I remember that
over at St. Joe's. Right? Wasn't that right? No, it was over here.
Well,
over at the Palestra. It wasn't at St. Joe's. It was at the Palestra.
All right.
So, am I right, or was it at the Peacock?
Well, they used to train at Peacon, but it's not a big facility, and they also used to do things at St. Joe's too. I believe at that time they were at Peacon.
I think it was at St. Joe's. They had this open practice.
Yeah, because you would have more people would be able to come into St. Joe's. Peacon is
not big. The Cora Center a couple times.
Yeah, but it wasn't near. I know I was on a college campus, so I think it was St. Joe's, because this is back when I was still a partial season ticket holder.
Oh,
yeah.
All right, there you go.
You know, you get the little...
You get the perks?
Yeah, you get the perks being one of the... And this was the first one. He didn't even practice. Yeah, he was still injured at the time.
Well, that didn't change, Ike.
Yeah, he didn't even practice.
We had the... What were the incidents that we had with Bynum? He re-injured the knee bowling.
Yeah.
He was racing on Delaware Avenue in a $150,000 car.
Yeah, he liked to visit the... steakhouses.
He liked the steakhouses with other things going on there. That was noted. Was he dancing at a? No, that was Embiid that was dancing at the concert. Injured.
Yeah, but he was dancing somewhere like in.
Yeah, what was it?
Morocco, maybe. What was he dancing at?
And then
wasn't he doing a salsa or something?
There was something. I can't. You're right, because that's why I said it. I'm like, was he dancing at a concert? And then I'm like, no, that was Embiid. But I remember him doing something stupid.
Well, listen, it's. His worst transgression was the Ike Turner / Beatles haircut he had, that bowl cut he had on top of his head. Like, I mean, that's
when I knew it was never going to happen.
Yes,
here.
when I saw that on the, remember we used to be like, what is his hair going to look like today? He was changing his hair so much, sitting on the bench. When he went to that hairstyle, I was like, I'm out.
Because seriously, like, of all the things, right, like the, yeah, bad knees and bowling or whatever. It's like, all right, well, he's an idiot. He went bowling because he's bored and he re-injured the knee. But then the hair, that was something that I never truly understood. He looked like a Beatle. You're right. He looked like he was one of the Beatles.
Yeah. Have you ever seen What's Love Got to Do with It?
Yes. Yeah, he was like Turner.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Then. Yes.
So is that what he was going? Because normally guys don't go for that look, right?
No, we don't.
Right, it's like a certain mustache. People don't go for that mustache anymore based on what's happened previously in history, right? So it leads us to the question of Andrew Bynum. Is he the WOAT of Philadelphia?
The WOAT?
Is he the worst of all time in Philadelphia? And I'll say
he's up there.
I mean, he's got to be, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they traded away Nick Vucevic, who, by the way,
is still playing,
is still a very good player. He's an all-star type player. I don't know if he makes it every year.
Well, he's been there a couple times.
Definitely. Yep. No, he's a very good player.
Yep.
And what that ended up leading into was the demise of Doug Collins and the start of the process, which hasn't worked out the way that we wanted to. But he's got to be considered one of the WOATs of all time in Philadelphia. 215-592-9494. In honor of Andrew Bynum, by the way, happy birthday, Andrew. Who is the WOAT of Philly sports? You know, it doesn't even have to be a player. It could be GM, owner, coach. Right. Who's the WOAT? 215-592.
Not a potted plant sitting in the corner?
Oh, Jack. Really? No.
It's still DeMarco.
Oh, DeMarco's the WOAT.
Oh, that's a good one.
Dude, DeMarco was the worst, man.
I agree.
Comes here in a big contract. Honestly, like, I was out pretty early, but obviously the slide. I mean,
oh, that was it.
Yes. So you go DeMarco.
Yeah, big money, comes here, absolute bust, leaves, has a rushing record, or leads the league in rushing.
Yeah.
And then the slide, I was out.
Yeah, on the plane talking to the owner, complaining to the owner about his usage, etc.
Right.
215-592-9494. The WOAT, the worst of all time of Philadelphia sports. I'll give mine. It's Norman Braman. It's the former owner of the Philadelphia Eagles who allowed an elite group of players, because free agency was starting. He's like, oh yeah, I'm not paying that. Are you crazy? Like Reggie White, I'm not paying all that money for him. Mm-hmm. Right? He let the best or the second best defensive player in the history of the league leave. So he's my WOAT. 215-592-9494. At Mark's Reese WIP. That can be our Twitter question for the 4 o'clock hour, brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. If you're thinking of getting engaged, you have to visit Mark's Jewelers in a 25,000-square-foot showroom online, marks-jewelers.com. Let's go to the phones. Dan in South Jersey. Dan's talking Eagles Cowboys. Dan, how are you?
Doing well, gents. Happy belated birthday, Eric.
That's 2 weeks ago, Dan. Thank you, bro, brother.
Well,
it's like the New Year's question. When do you stop saying Happy New Year to somebody?
My apologies.
No, I'm
my
just
apologies.
Messing with you, Dan. I appreciate it. Thank you.
It seems kind of silly. Grown men are talking about hating a professional football team, but it just does. I mean, I don't hate any professional team. You know, don't understand why anybody would hate it. But my belief is that because of the success the Cowboys have had, that leads to, you know, the hatred, you know, that people have. If they were not a successful team, having won 5 Super Bowls, and actually their history doesn't start in the 90s, guys. I mean, I'm in my mid-50s. When I was a kid, it was Cowboys, Steelers, Raiders, Dolphins, Vikings. Those were the popular teams. Mm-hmm. You know, Roger Staubach. So it goes back before the Troy Aikman era. And if they didn't have that success, obviously you wouldn't have the generations of Cowboy fans that you have. And you have them everywhere, not just even in the States. You have Cowboy fans out in Europe. You have them down in Mexico. Cowboys and Yankees, you know, they're super popular.
Yeah, but at least the Yankees win from time to time.
But so do the Cowboys. They have no, 5
they don't.
Super Bowls.
No, they don't.
Yeah, when was the last one?
It was 25
they don't
years
have 5
ago.
Super Bowls?
Yeah, 25 years ago.
Yeah, but, you know, the Eagles really had – they were the little redheaded stepchild. They had no Super Bowl.
Yeah, and then that changed.
Well, no, it did. But, you know, you have the Giants, the Redskins. Those three teams have a rich history of winning.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the Cowboys and why are they relevant, Dan. They're living off relatives who told them how good they used to be. You can't give me a good, logical reason why anybody would become a stinking Cowboys fan based off winning.
Their dad makes them one, that's why.
Okay, that makes
sense. Yeah, that makes
sense. And that's the reason why. I mean, it's not just in Philly. There are Cowboy fans everywhere you go.
Oh, we know they're the most popular team in the country, in the world. You said it right. You weren't wrong when you said Cowboys, Yankees, and Lakers. Like, those are the three most popular sports franchises probably in the world, outside of the popular soccer team, Man U and all of that.
Right, so if you're a sports fan, but you don't live in an area where that you necessarily file a certain team, or you just like the best team.
Or you live in Jacksonville, Florida, and you're like,
yeah. Okay, well, like for instance,
Jags. I got to be a Jags fan.
For instance, AI is from Virginia, but it's not necessarily like Northern Virginia. He could have been a Redskin fan, but he's a Cowboy fan and he's a Yankee fan too, right?
That's fraud. That's fraudulent behavior.
And you get a lot of guys like that are like the Bulls, for instance. How many freaking Bulls fans were there in the 90s, Ike?
Well, everybody.
Everybody was,
and I hated them.
Everybody was. Everybody had
Who'd
the T-shirts.
Like in the 90s?
Lakers?
The 90s?
Well, he was a Laker fan.
Well, yeah. But by the time
you're a Laker fan because of Kobe.
No, what?
Showtime.
What's wrong with this young buck?
No, Kobe came to the Lakers.
Yes.
And
I was already a Lakers fan. Yes,
I thought you were the first millennial. You jumped with players.
No, I became a basketball fan in the 80s. You were a Lakers fan and you loved Dr. J. Like, those were the basketball.
That's what you did.
Yes, because the Celtics was your other option.
And nobody wanted to like the Celtics.
Dr. J had the coolest nickname, and Magic was the second coolest nickname.
Yeah. Well, even to this day.
So I was there before Air Jordan became Air Jordan.
Even to this day, if you go to a Sixer game, and you've seen it, because I've seen you down at the old days when Kobe would come into town.
Sure.
You have a lot of Philadelphia area Lakers fans. And I'm not talking about young guys that like Kobe. I'm talking about Showtime Lakers fans that are still coming to the games.
Oh, believe me, I was a bandwagon fan then. I got no shame in that.
Yeah, but you didn't have a – who could you root for?
Yeah, I mean, I could have rooted for Larry Nance and
– I was a Larry Nance fan.
Craig Elo and Mark Price and
– who was their – team won a lot of games.
Yeah, Cleveland Cavaliers.
Mike Fratello.
But here's the funny thing about that. Cincinnati and Cleveland is a rival city. They rival each other, so you're not going to root for anything from Cleveland.
No, of course
which
not.
Is why I inherently don't like LeBron James. It all ties in.
Yeah.
It's the whole
– It's a natural rival for you.
Yes, because Cleveland is the big city in Ohio, but Cincinnati is the cleaner city in Ohio. We have the Reds. They have the Indians.
Mm-hmm. You had WKRP. They had, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland.
And we all meet at the Buckeyes, Columbus.
Yeah. And you had an IHL hockey team in Cincy, didn't you?
We did, the Cyclones.
Yeah, see that? That's great Cincy knowledge.
Cincinnati Cyclones.
A lot of Oscar Robertson out there.
Yeah, that's a bad memory. Oscar.
Yeah, don't bring up those memories, Dyke.
Oscar diss me, man.
Let's go to Jack in Wilmington. Jack, how are you?
Oh, very good. Hey.
Hey, buddy.
I love that little rant there a few minutes ago. That was that hate runs deep. You could tell. That was good.
Yeah, appreciate it. Appreciate it, Jack.
What about your hate there, Jack?
I don't know if I can match right, but I always love to see the Cowboys go down. In fact, right now, while the Eagles haven't been winning, my best fun is sitting here watching the Cowboys lose.
Oh, every week I root for whoever's playing the Cowboys. That's for sure.
You got that right. Hey, look, why I called is about 45 minutes ago, like you said something about the quarterback in the pocket in the NFL is a thing of the past, and I wish you might tell that to Coach Peterson because it just drives me crazy every week that we got Carson standing back there in the pocket, not putting him out there in motion, not getting Carson out there on the bootlegs, not getting him out there on the sprint outs. It seems to me everyone knows that Carson does the best when he's on the move, and our success last year at the end of the season, that's what we were doing. And in addition to that, like, you take Boston Scott. I believe one of the best plays we were doing last year was Carson would sprint out on some passes, and the next thing you know, he'd run that sprint draw to Boston Scott, and we'd break some runs that way. Mm-hmm. It just drives me nuts. I feel like here we got Carson we're just not utilizing his skills the way we should. Like the game last night, sitting there watching Goff. Goff must have run the bootleg play five times, and the tight end was open every time. I mean, it just – you see the other teams. I've seen New Orleans using motion, using all the different stuff, and using getting Breeze out there. But we just keep using that same old pocket pass, and it's just kind of disturbing.
Gotcha, Jack. So Ike, I think this is something that we've talked about a lot. Is that using him strictly in the pocket or overusing him in the pocket? It certainly isn't. You're not using what he does well. But I mean, can you live on rolling out and as a quarterback in the modern NFL, can you do that more than anything else? Or I mean, how much can you play outside of the pocket? I guess is what I'm asking. If you're the Eagles and Carson Wentz,
well, you can't do it 50%+ of the time. No, you can't do that because what you're doing is you're cutting off half the field, so you're limiting your options by cutting off half the field. I like it as an element of the offense. I like what they did in San Francisco when they moved him around a little bit. The real issue with the Eagles is they don't have enough dynamic players.
Yes.
They don't have enough dynamic players. So even when you get guys in open space, it doesn't necessarily result in explosive plays. Now, you can do some of that stuff, but not everybody's going to leave Richard Rodgers wide open in the middle of the field like they did on the final drive where Carson was able to hit him, right? Some of these things have to be ran from the pocket, and that's where he has to be more effective from the pocket. You know, I'm always about letting the Bronco buck, and I certainly believe that should be – you should have a philosophy as an offense or general principle as an offense. What you're seeing out of offenses like from a Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, those types of offenses, because he is a much better quarterback outside of the pocket. You can't deny that. But you can't do that for 100% of the plays.
No.
He's going to have to be effective from the pocket. It's just a matter of plays. Like, what plays are you having him run from the pocket? We all thought that the Pittsburgh Steelers game was arguably his best game. That was primarily from the
pocket.
From
the pocket, yeah.
That was primarily from the pocket. So he has the ability to do it. It's just that you can't stranglehold yourself and say, this is what he's going to do the entire game. You have to be able to add the other stuff in there. I keep going back to this. The biggest problem with the Eagles right now, and really Carson, we don't have a reliable running game. You need a reliable running game. And God bless him. It may have taken him 20 years to do it, 21 years to do it. You see Andy Reid run about 46 times on Monday night against the Bills?
He's done it a couple times where he said, we're going to go in and run the ball and win
the game. Exactly. The first game of the season.
Yeah, first game.
He's running it. It takes the pressure off of Pat Mahomes of having to be an MVP every time he drops back just because it's great for fantasy football, and we like it. But that's a hard way to live constantly. It puts a lot more stress on your offensive line to protect. Having a reliable running game to go to, it allows for your play-action pass to work, which means it's going to be a bigger window for your quarterback to throw into. You know when Nick Foles really got it going the Super Bowl year? When they started running the ball. When they got to running that ball effectively, now the RPO works.
You're right.
Now some of the stuff. When you gave that ball to LeGarrette Blount, who usually scored our first touchdowns against, I think he scored the one against the Falcons and the one against the Vikings, or Jay Ajayi, it makes the quarterback's job a lot easier. You know why Nick is struggling the way he is? There is no running game in Chicago. He's a statue as a quarterback.
Yeah, predictable.
And the Eagles' offense is predictable when Carson is dropping back.
Yeah.
There is no creativity to it that really tricks anybody. We need that running game, man. Even when Miles was in there, it wasn't a good running game.
No, he was hitting some home runs. That was about it.
You need that consistent running game. Doug goes away from calling running plays when he doesn't have success, which means now Carson's going to have to throw the ball 9-10 consecutive plays.
Happened second quarter Thursday night, and it's when Carson was running around, and it's like, here comes an interception.
Yep.
And that's exactly when Doug, even if he's not having success, that's where he should be running the ball.
That's where Frank Reich would go to LeGarrette Blount back in 2017.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, Carson completed 60% of his passes. What do you think? He was great? He completed 60% of his passes. How do you think they blew everybody out?
Offensively, he was hitting on big plays, set up through play action. Holds the safety for half of a second, bam.
Man, when I got to worry about LeGarrette Blount and Jay Ajayi running that ball, now Nelson Agholor can get behind me. Now Torrey Smith can get behind me.
Mm.
No running game.
Let's go to the phones. Len in Swedesboro. Len, how are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah. How you doing?
What up, Lenny?
I had to call in with this Dallas Cowboys thing because know that rivalry will never die with me. Anybody who knows me knows I cannot stand local Cowboy frauds. Hmm. You know, let's get into this. Now, I'm 53 years old, so, of course, I grew up, you know, I was this Roger Staubach fan, Tony Dorsett, Drew Pearson, Tony Hill. I even throw a Golden Richards out there for you. But you know what happened when I was 13 years old? I recognized, look, I live in this area. My team is the Philadelphia Eagles. Right? That's the area that I'm from. So that's who I'm going to root for. That's where I'm from. That's where I'm living. Mm-hmm. These other guys, these other frauds, they have this thing. They have this complex where they have to have one-upsman on somebody. They have to have bragging rights. Right. And that's all it's about. That is all it's about.
Yep. That's what it is.
That is all it's about. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, come on. And they will tell you this. Oh, I can't root for a loser. Like, yeah. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
They say that. I can't root for a loser. What? It's like you're sitting in a bar watching a game, and some guy comes into the bar, he asks you who's winning the game, and you tell him who's winning, and he says, oh, that's the team I'm going to root for. You think that person's a fraud, period. Mm. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, if anybody follows me on Twitter, I'm always tweeting NFL Network, and this is another one of my issues with the Cowboys. Every story that they come on with has got to start with the Dallas Cowboys. This team has not made an NFC Championship game since 1996. Mm. They got 3 playoff wins in the last 2 decades.
Mm. Mm.
Why are we still acting like this team is so relevant? They're not. The Eagles have been much more successful in this last decade, in these last 2 decades.
Last 20 years, yeah.
It sells, Len.
It's not even close.
But you know what, though? It sells. It sells. It sells when they lose or win. We're mad when they win, and when they lose, we enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. And getting to that next point, there is no reason why this Eagles team shouldn't stomp that team on Sunday. Because what I saw from the Cowboys against the Redskins, that team is garbage. I don't want to hear any excuses, they were a wounded animal coming in. No. They can't cover, and they can't block.
Yep.
We need to stomp them, period.
Mm. Who's your woke, Len?
Nnamdi Asamoah.
Oh,
yeah, got to go Nnamdi.
That's a good one.
Got to go Nnamdi.
Thank you, Len.
He's in that group.
See, he's a serious actor now, Nnamdi Asamoah.
See, I think Nnamdi's over DeMarco.
But Nnamdi wasn't a former Cowboy.
That's true.
All right, that's a good point.
That's a good point.
I mean, he had the stupid lunch thing. He just kind of sucked.
Yeah.
Like, DeMarco legitimately quit on the team.
And he didn't want
to
be
the owner.
Here. And he didn't want to be here.
He just took all of our money.
Yeah.
He just was the biggest contract out there as a Cowboy. Left here, was good again. Yeah.
But Nnamdi was sold to us as the second best cornerback in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And that's, second best corner. Oh. And meanwhile, he was shot. At that point, it was like, wow, this guy.
That's not Nnamdi's fault.
Well, whose fault is it?
Then? It's not Nnamdi's fault. Yeah, and then he's eating sandwiches in his car. Oh, I was so aggravated. But you know what? I think more people, because of the Cowboy angle with DeMarco, would agree with DeMarco. That whole Chip Kelly era, you have a bunch of guys. And he slid. And he's crying to the owner on the plane.
That was one time I thought I was going to get my key card revoked, too. Yeah, but for some reason, most people felt the same way that I did when they saw that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got a lot more of
great. Yeah, you great, said great, what we can't.
Yeah,
like.
Exactly. Yeah, I got a lot more of that. Yeah, I got a lot more of that.
Yeah, that couldn't have been easy. 215-592-9494. Wotes, the worst of all time of Philadelphia sports. Happy birthday, Andrew Bynum. He's one of the Wotes. Didn't even play a game, Mike.
Not even, did he practice? I mean, the guy didn't even practice, man.
No, he didn't even practice. Not a game.
Not a game.
And not practice either. Andrew Bynum, certainly one of the Wotes. Who are the others? 215-592-9494. And apparently, 2 teams tried to trade for Zach Ertz before he was put on the IR. Who were they? We'll tell you coming up next. Marks and Reese.
Hey, I've been telling you about the new partnership between the Philadelphia Eagles and First Trust Bank. You can now represent the squad with personalized Eagles checks and my favorite, the Eagles debit cards. Now, I want to let you know about a great new program now that fans are back in the stands. The stadium is now cashless, and First Trust Bank is launching a limited-time new customer bonus on Eagles checking. Get approved for a new Eagles checking account and receive 15,000 bonus points for the Eagles Silver Card. Now, that's enough points to redeem for a $150 gift card. Or you can get 20,000 bonus points for an Eagles Black Card. Now, that's enough points for a $200 gift card. Now, it's easier than cash. Tap to pay or upload to your mobile wallet for contactless payments. Now, you not only get a great-looking Eagles debit card, you'll also get 20% off Eagles merchandise at the stadium and online. And you'll get a chance to earn points on purchases everywhere you go. Just go to firsttrust.com/eagleschecking to get more information and apply today. Again, that's firsttrust.com/eagleschecking.